Elder Danny Parker from Danville, Virginia.
Brother Luke has carried us to high things. And many of those things that he had reference to is some of my favorite accounts in God's Word. And we appreciate that message. And it does revive us, you know. Primitive Baptists are the only ones that really can be revived upon the things of the gospel. And, you know, when we're revived, we see Jesus. I looked down and I saw this. Sir, we would see Jesus. And that's what we have come this morning, to see Jesus by faith and embrace him and to look to him, because he is our head, he is our Savior, he's our master, he's our friend, and all the other roles that he has is to us as we travel here in this world. What a blessing that we have in Jesus Christ. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The Lord Jesus, before he left this world, he informed his disciples that he was going away. And of course, that message was sad to them. They were sad that you're going away. He said, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And so Jesus went away and he sent the Holy Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And in his role as a comforter, he comforts us. He leads us, he guides us, he strengthens us. There's several roles of the Holy Spirit, his functions. And of course, we know that the Holy Spirit, in his function of giving us spiritual life, is all of him. It's by him. It's without any help of man. It is not by the cooperation of man, or the sinner does not cooperate with God in order for him to work as the life giver. He is the life giver. And this morning, I want to speak to you a little while on the Holy Spirit being our life giver and what he works in us. And one of the greatest blessings that we have as we sojourn here in this world is what the Holy Spirit has worked in us. And what he has done in us cannot be taken away from us. What he has worked in us is forever. It's called everlasting life or eternal life. What he has worked in us is all of God. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians and he says, being confident of this very thing, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, there are some people that believe that you can lose eternal life, or that after a person has been born of God, he can be unborn of God. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that when you're born of God, you are forever his, vitally. And therefore, we have been raised up from a state in which we could not raise ourselves up. We could not extricate ourselves from the pit of sin that we were in, and that God purposely come to us, that he is first. He came to us in that condition and raised us up out of death to life. And I want to begin in the book of Colossians, the first chapter and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now here the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, a church that he had not visited, and yet he had heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is a high priority of giving thanks. You know, we can give thanks for many things unto God. And we could never give him thanks for everything that he is to us and what he's done for us. But here is a high priority of giving thanks. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now the word meet means to make sufficient, or fit, or suitable. Now by human nature, we are insufficient, we are unfit, we are unworthy, we are undone, we are filthy, we are polluted, we are depraved, and we cannot come to God upon our own free will. That is, we have no desire within us because we are alienated from God. Adam plunged the whole human family into sin, and therefore we were ruined in him. And of course, when we come forth in this world, we are sinners. In fact, the psalmist David in Psalm 51 says that I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, there's a lot of people who don't understand that. And they think that, well, a baby when it comes into this world is pure and clean. But that's not true. When we come into this world, we are undone, unclean, as far as our human nature is concerned, by the corruptible seed of our parents. We come into this world depraved and polluted and undone. And therefore, if we are ever brought out of that state, God must get us out. But I got good news. He's going to get every one of the heirs of promise out of that condition because he is determined to do it. He has purpose to do it. I'm glad that I believe in the purpose of God, that God is not unsure and he's not uncertain about his salvation to his people. And therefore, the Apostle Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We are partakers of the inheritance of the saints because God has given us the ability by implanting within us the divine seed. We are born of God. We have passed from death unto life. We have been raised up. We are on holy ground. Therefore, God has done a work in us that the devil in all hell cannot take away from us. And this world cannot destroy. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. It is Jesus Christ that has come to us by his Spirit and given us eternal life. He did that without the gospel, without prayers. He did that of himself, by himself. He does that whom he wills to do it to without our will. But he gives us a will. We have a new will because it's a new man in us. When the Apostle Paul talks about the new man, he's talking about the divine nature that God has given us. And by that divine nature that God has given us, and by the way, that spirit that was dead in us is made alive. It's not like a rabbit just running through a log.
That's right.
called the hollow log doctrine. But he effects in us life, and that life is eternal. That's eternal life. Now, we don't have the fullness of that life yet, but I'm telling you that we have Christ in us.
Amen.
And that is sufficient.
Amen.
He is sufficient. He's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, who hath saved us from the power of darkness. We were darkness itself, weren't we?
Yes.
We were darkness itself. Paul says, ye were sometimes darkness,
yeah,
but now are ye light in the Lord.
Amen.
Walk as children of light.
Right.
People can't walk as children of the light until the light is turned on.
Amen.
Until the light is given. That is the divine life in us, which is the life of God, the nature of God. What happens when God gives us eternal life? Well, I believe our soul's prepared for heaven, don't you?
Yeah. Amen.
And it gives us the ability to do everything that we do in the spiritual realm. And then the gospel comes along and gives us the power to walk.
Yeah.
Walk as children of light. So as children of light, we are to walk.
Yes.
We are to walk in the commandments of God.
Yes.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Who did that? The Holy Spirit. He did that. And has translated us. Now, I want to sort of dwell on this translation. Who has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now there's many phases of the kingdom, and I don't have time to get into all those phases, but I believe, and I believe that this text right here tells us that we are passive in this, and that the Holy Spirit has acted in us, and he has translated us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. Now, this translation, we didn't have anything to do. We didn't choose to do this. It was not our volition. It was not our choice. It was not our decision. We didn't work with God for this to be done. God did it.
Amen.
God did it. I don't care how a man says it, just so he says God did it. You know, God has done this work.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, it is a marvelous work. It is amazing grace, isn't it?
Yeah.
Somebody says, well, you Primitive Baptists, you don't know the... You say you don't know the hour or the exact time when this was done to you. It doesn't matter, because it is done. It is wrought in us, and the evidence is that that this has been done for us is the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
The fruit of the Spirit, which is love and faith and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, you know.
Right.
So here we have that he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And this is done when it pleases God. When God is pleased to do this.
Amen.
Translated. Now, when the King James translation was translated by the translators, did this translate itself, or did they translate it?
They
translated it, right? From the Greek and Hebrew, they translated. Translation means to take from one state to another, from one form to another, or from one place to another.
That's right.
We find in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, a man by the name of Enoch.
That's right.
Now Enoch, it says he was 65 years old when he begat Methuselah. And Methuselah was the oldest man that lived upon the face of the earth. 969 years. You read about that people back there, and they lived over 900 years. Can you imagine human beings living that long here upon this earth, and the wisdom that they acquired in their life in living that long upon this earth? But when Enoch was 65 years old, he begat Methuselah. And it says that after that, he walked with God.
That's right.
He walked with God. And it repeats it, that he walked with God. Now, I believe that God came to him. When he begat Methuselah, God came to him, gave him faith in order for him to walk with God. How do we walk with God? We walk with God by faith. We live by faith as we travel here in this world. Faith embraces God, really. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we know that the seed of faith is given by God in the nature of the Spirit in the new birth. Now we use that faith or utilize that faith to walk with God. How long did Enoch walk with God? I believe he walked with God 300 years. 300 years he walked with God. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 5, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death because God translated him. God translated him, and therefore it says that he was not found, for God translated him, but for his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, Enoch walked with God, and his faith is tied to his translation. And I don't believe that his faith merited that, but I believe his faith was tied to that, in the sense that it so pleased God that this man walked with him 300 years. All these other people died, but it was the purpose of God, and it pleased God to take Enoch out of this world. Now that's an amazing account, isn't it? That here is Enoch walking with God 300 years, and one day God just takes him out of this world and translates him from mortality to immortality, from earth to heaven. What an amazing experience that must have been for Enoch to be taken out of this world in body, soul, in spirit, and in life with God in heaven. He was translated. He didn't just sprout wings and fly into heaven. That God took him. God took him. He had this testimony that he pleased God. It could be a prelude to what shall happen when Jesus comes again to those that are alive that are his. That in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, his people that are alive shall be translated. That is, just changed and from mortality to immortality. The Bible tells us that when Jesus comes again, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's the order, isn't it? The dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that are alive are going to see the dead in Christ rise first. Somebody asked me one time, would you rather be asleep in Christ or alive when he comes? I said, well, it doesn't matter to me. Either way, I'm going to live with him. I'm going to be with him, and I'm going to be changed. Yeah. I'm going to be, everybody, all the people of God must be changed. Whether you're asleep in Jesus Christ, you will be changed. You know, Enoch was given revelation of the coming of the Lord Jesus. In the book of Jude, he said, behold, he cometh with 10,000s of his saints. He was a prophet. How could Enoch, way back here, know what was coming in the future? Because God communicated with him and God told him. God revealed it unto him. He says, behold, he cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Can you imagine how it will be when Jesus descends from heaven with all those souls of the departed saints? What a cloud that will be. Oh, Ten thousands of his saints, a multitude, a host of the redeemed that are asleep in Jesus, that he will reunite the very spirit and soul of his people with their body, and they shall be glorified and immortal.
Amen.
I'm telling you, your very soul or your very spirit that has been regenerated and born of God will be reunited with your glorified and immortal body. And, you know, God's not going to be confused of what soul goes in what body. He knows your soul. You are a particular person to him. You are loved of him, and your very soul, your very spirit that departs this life into the presence of God will be brought at the coming of the Lord Jesus and be reunited with your very body, which will be glorified and conform to the image of Jesus Christ. So there will be a great translation at the last day, won't it?
Yeah.
This translation will not be based upon the works of men, but rather upon the purpose of Almighty God. You know, I love the doctrine of predestination, the Bible doctrine, you know.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of different teachings about predestination that is not correct. But Bible scriptural predestination is that God predestinated his people to be conformed to the image of his Son, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. As we travel here in this world, we are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And that hope that springs up within us is from the wonderful gospel of Christ that has been preached unto us, that corresponds with our spirit that he has given to us. Not all of God's children will believe the truth. Most of them won't. But I'm glad to report unto you that when we all get to heaven, all God's children are going to be primitive Baptists. Because they're all going to know the truth. They're not going to wonder why we are there, or who brought us there, or why we're here. They're all going to know. I sometimes stretch and I say to my, you know, to some of my family, I can't wait to tell them I told you so. But they're all going to know, aren't they? But aren't you thankful you know that here? Well, that'll give you sleep at night. You don't have to go to bed worrying about sinners going to hell. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about your neighbor or your children or anyone else. Because you know that Jesus is sufficient. And he has done a perfect and complete work. And that we trust in that. We trust in him that it's not by the efforts of men. But we live by that. I'll tell you what, that ought to move us and stimulate us.
Amen.
The gospel is God's stimulation package for the church.
Amen.
And that stimulation works. And he'll never run out of riches for that. How rich are we? I tell you what, I'm rich. I'm not talking about in material things, but in Jesus Christ, we're rich.
Yeah.
This translation, all the same people that live in heaven has been translated from death unto spiritual life. And you can't lose it.
Amen.
You know why? Because we are preserved in Jesus Christ. Somebody says, do you believe in perseverance? I said, I do. But as far as my eternal destiny is concerned, I only have trust in the perseverance of one man, and that's Jesus Christ.
He persevered. Amen.
Jesus told his disciples, these words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Now that is going to be. That is a fact. In this world we shall have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. But is the opposite of what went before, right? But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He is the conqueror. He's the overcomer. He says, I have overcome the world. He says, I have conquered the world. Somebody says, he hadn't died upon the cross. Doesn't matter, because on the cross he conquered. He gained the victory, didn't he? Even when his disciples thought it's all over with. But he gained the victory upon the cross. His right hand and holy arm got him the victory. And he got it for us. We have victory in Jesus Christ. I like that word, don't you? Victory. Triumph. He says, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Be filled with cheer. Be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. In fact, he could say that before he actually overcame death. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. He conquered Satan. He conquered principalities and powers, and therefore God has made him head over all things. And when he comes, that which God had purposed, it says, then cometh the end, that is the fruition of it all. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom. Up! Somebody says, I'm waiting for the rapture. I'm waiting for the reign of Christ upon this earth. I'm waiting for him to rapture people out of this world, and those that are left, they don't know where they've gone. They've been watching too much of the Twilight Zone, I think. Because when Jesus comes, every eye shall see him. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. White knee, black knee, red knee, doesn't matter what knee, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord unto the glory of God the Father. But aren't you thankful you confess that right now? You can bow before him because he has done this work in us and blessed us to know about it through the gospel. And that gives us assurance. Brother Luke was talking about those wagons. I'll tell you what. The gospel attended by the Holy Spirit is assurance to our soul that what the Lord has done for us, in us, and what he's destined us to, that it shall be, because he's God and his purpose stands. May God bless you with these things.
Amen. So we'll turn to hymn number 95. Brother Danny likes that word. So we'll sing about it and praise God for it. You've heard victory in Jesus this morning. And if your heart has embraced the victory that we have in the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is one proper biblical response, and that's the